Sometimes, it helps to expand the cushion to every level of sappiness I can muster. If I love myself truly and deeply, with all my heart, wanting only the very best for myself, wanting and deserving a magical and beautiful life, would I do this? Then, the choice is mine. It's such moments that define my life, that define my destiny, and these days, more often than not, I choose a life of love, a life of magic. Groove. A friend lived through some of the fiercest battles American troops endured in the last decade. He and his wife lived life full out. He told me that he lives because the friends he lost would want him to. He lives because he owes it to their memory. We both lost a mutual friend recently, a former Marine who couldn't let go of what he carried from war. Accomplished, humble, hardworking. Yet the ghosts of the past got him. I've been there. The thought of quitting life is sweet temptation. Just to be done with all this. I've been there closer than I'm comfortable admitting. Fortunately, I've also been on the other side, so that gives me perspective. I sometimes wonder if thoughts of ending our lives are like an addiction. With such a primal feeling, to be or not to be, that once you taste the first hit, you're never completely free. You can leave it behind, yes. But just like an addiction, if you're ever in a bad place and weakened, temptation can rise again. So what's the solution? Create a new groove that transforms you from the inside out, that creates magic in your life. So if you are ever weakened and old grooves resurface, the new one is so deep and powerful that you see right through the hallucinated snakes. Simply put, let the light in you remove the darkness. And most importantly, if the old grooves return, reach out for help to anyone and everyone. One who loves themselves throws aside their ego and asks for help because they are worth it. Magic. I finish at the gym, walk outside, and sit on a wall by the driveway. Indian summer evening in San Francisco. Breezy, cool, fog above downtown, delicious. I love my life, I find myself thinking. I love my life. I love my life. I love my life. The thought flows as naturally as the wind. I watch the skyline. People ask why I let my long hair fall in front of my eyes. It's for moments like these, when I watch the world through wisps of silver. I love my life. I love my life. Clouds move above, the thought shifts. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I'm smiling, then grinning. All I am, my hopes, dreams, desires, faults, strengths, everything. I love myself. If you can reach this point, even if it's for a brief moment, it will transform you. I promise you that. The key, at least for me, has been to let go. Let go of the ego, let go of attachments, let go of who I think I should be, who others think I should be. And as I do that, the real me emerges. Far, far better than the Kamal I projected to the world. There is a strength in this vulnerability that cannot be described, only experienced. Am I this way each moment? No, but I sure as heck am working on it. Thousands of years ago, a Roman poet wrote, "I am a human being, therefore nothing human is foreign to me." I believe it to be true. So if this is possible for one human, it is possible for anyone. The path might be different, but the destination, same. Key is being open to loving ourselves. Once we do that, life casually takes care of the next steps. Remain open to that one possibility, and you'll experience the beauty of watching the world around you dance its dance, while inside you fully accept this marvelous, amazing human being you are. The feeling is, for lack of a better word, magic. Surrender. I once asked a monk how he found peace. "I say yes," he'd said, "to all that happens. I say yes." Before I got sick, the last thing my Western mind wanted to say was yes. I was obsessed with my business, with visions of selling it, making enough money to never work again. You can argue that obsession fuels innovation in our society. True, perhaps, but quite often, behind obsession is fear. And there was plenty of fear. Fear of what people would think, fear of letting employees and investors down, fear of failing and what that would mean about me. I used the fear as energy, driving me forward, pushing to achieve, pushing to succeed, paying no attention to my body, to the present, and I paid the price. Often, the price for not being present is pain. Now, I understand what the monk meant. There is a surrender to what is, to the moment. Whenever I notice fear in my mind, instead of pushing it aside or using it as fuel, I say to myself, it's okay. A gentle yes to myself, to the moment, to what the mind is feeling. Often, that is enough to deflate the fear. From there, I shift to the truth of loving myself. Knowing this, I realized that I still could have built a great company, had a beautiful relationship, managed my health, and reached out to my friend before she passed away and told her how much I loved her. I could have done all of this from a place of gentleness, a place of self-love. But I can't erase the past, only learn from it. It's okay. Applying what I know makes the present and the future a beautiful place to be. Coasting. As I write this, I'm probably the lowest I've been in a while. Things are just so. Not as bad as they were when I first started, but life's not zinging. The thing is, when life just works for a while, you get used to it and you think it'll stay that way. Recency bias. When things suck, when you're deep in it, it seems like they will suck forever. You can't imagine a way out. When things are great, you live as if it'll always last. So, I ask myself, if I was to look deeper, why am I down? Why isn't my life an expression of, well, awesomeness? Once you've experienced it and you know it's possible, then you should be doing everything in your power to keep it that way. It's just too good. The answer? I'm lazy. When I was sick, I focused on my mind with a desperate intensity. But as life got good, then great, I started to coast. Let the mind drift to its natural devices. Went days, then weeks without meditating. Loving myself became something I assumed, but didn't work toward. I'm now at the point that when I repeat the loop, I love myself, it feels strange. I find myself searching for a less powerful word, one that feels right. But if love isn't right, nothing else will be. The irony is, I'm the one who shared this truth with friends. Love yourself, I told them. See what it did for me? It works. It really works. All true. But who wants to take financial advice from a man barely scraping by? So I asked myself the question, if I love myself truly and deeply, what would I do? I love this question. There is no threat, no right or wrong answer, only an invitation to my truth in this present moment. The answer is simple. I'd commit to the practice. I would also share the next thing I've learned, which is, don't let yourself coast when things are going great. It's easy to wish for health when you're sick. When you're doing well, you need just as much vigilance. Honestly, it scares me a little. Coming from the dumps, when life works, it's great. But if life is working and you do the practice, how high can life go? Can I handle it? Heck, do I even deserve it? It's a nice trick the monkey mind plays. So I return to the question, if I love myself truly and deeply, what would I do? The answer comes easy. I'd fly. Fly as high as I possibly can. Then, I'd fly higher. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go meditate. Belief. A side effect of loving myself fiercely was that it started to dislodge old beliefs that I didn't even know existed. Whether having coffee with a friend or reading a book, I would have flashes of insight into myself. They were so clear. It was like my life was a deck of cards, each with a picture of situations I'd experienced, all falling down on me, flip, flip, flip. And the only thought was, oh my God, it all makes sense. Here's one example. I've always known that growth is important to me. If I don't feel like I'm growing, I'm drifting, depressed. But what I didn't know, until the practice of self-love showed me, was my belief about growth. Real growth comes through intense, difficult, and challenging situations. Can you see how that would define the path of my life? It was immediately obvious where it came from. The first time I felt like I grew in a way that I was no longer the same. I was far better. U.S. Army Infantry Boot Camp. Was it intense? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Was it challenging? Every day. Was it happy or joyful? No way. Centuries of military protocol designed it to be miserable. But it's something I've always looked at as a defining experience. One I'm proud of. I went in as an insecure 18-year-old. I came out knowing I could handle anything thrown at me. That was growth. What we believe, that's what we seek. It's the filter we view our lives through. I've actually thrown myself in intense and difficult situations. All situations where I grew. But at what price? Another example. While building my company, I was known as someone driven to succeed. Many told me so. I thought that as well until I loved myself. Then, one day, I woke up to a spotlight shining on that belief, except the truth was a slight twist. I was driven to not fail. Huge difference. No wonder my company went the way it did. The intense and consistent work to keep it moving forward, one step away from disaster, always somehow pulling it off, then moving to avert the next disaster, never failing, but never taking off the way I knew it should. The good news is that once the spotlight shines from within yourself, there is no going back. The patterns of the mind that held you back fall away on their own, like rusty old armor you don't need anymore. With each insight, there is freedom, a sense of lightness, and growth. Oxygen. After I gave that talk at Renaissance Weekend, one person said to me, "You must love others first." I respectfully disagree. It's like what they tell you during pre-flight instructions. In case of emergency, if oxygen masks drop from above, put yours on before you help someone else. As I started to love myself, things inside me shifted. Fear strengthens the ego. Love softens it. I became more open, vulnerable. It was natural to be gentle with others, even when they weren't loving toward me. And the times it wasn't easy, I had the resources, the loop, the meditation, the mirror, the cushion, to return to self-love. There is a power in this. Rather than reacting to situations, I found myself choosing how I wanted to be. That, in turn, created better situations and ultimately a far better life. Where I want to be. Lying on my back on a hill, grass slightly tickling my neck. Beautiful sunny day, blue skies. Clouds drift above, each a thought. I watch, knowing them for what they are. Rather than attaching my experience of the present to them, I choose the ones I want to focus on, or not focus on, always my choice. The thoughts come, drifting, twisting, turning in shapes. It is their nature. I pick one for the moment and then let it go, never attached, simply experiencing what I choose, all through the filter of love. That's it. End. I think that instead of reading loads of self-help books, attending various seminars, listening to different preachers, we should just pick one thing, something that feels true for us, then practice it fiercely. Place our bet on it, then go all out. That's where magic happens, where life blows away our expectations. I found what to bet on. It came from a place of anguish, a place of no more. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can come from a friend, a book, a lover. It can come from joy. If something else feels true for you, then do that. I really don't think the details matter. What matters is the practice, the commitment to living your truth. The results are worth it. I wish that for you. Part 2. The Manual. My Intention. When I wrote Part 1, The Vow, my intention was clear. No matter what objections you had when you started reading, By the time you finished, you would be convinced enough to give loving yourself a shot. The reason was simple. I'd experienced the magic that loving myself gave me. I'd seen it in others I'd shared the practice with. So I knew that if you just applied what I'd done, you'd experience it too. And once you experience the magic that results from loving yourself, something inside you is no longer the same. You may coast, you may quit, but you can never lie to yourself about what is possible. Part 2, the manual, is the result of responding to thousands of readers' emails. I learned from them that even though Part 1 succeeded, it wasn't enough. There were two key questions I still had to cover. The first, how can I apply this to my life easily? The second, how do I make it last? My intention is to resolve these threads. As a result, I want to give you a definitive manual for loving yourself, one that is easy, effective, and lasts. So here is a step-by-step guide to loving yourself. It takes the original practice and goes deeper. Then it adds what I've learned over the years to make it more impactful. By the time you finish, you'll understand that loving yourself is not only possible, but stupidly simple. Most importantly, you will know exactly how to do it. Jump. I don't know what brought you to this book or where you are in your life, but this I know. We can always be better. We can always start anew. There is no perfect time for it. No preparation or particular state of mind required. There is only commitment in this moment. It's like standing at the edge of a cliff over the ocean. You can take as many deep breaths as you want, but in the end, you gotta jump. Here's how we're going to do it. First, we will dig the foundation. You will forgive yourself and make your vow. These acts are a declaration to life itself. They change everything. Then, you will dive into the practice. Mental loop, meditation, mirror, question, and learn the nuances of each. You will learn how to apply the practice to your life and how to make it last. This will cement the foundation. Finally, we will build on the foundation. How loving yourself applies to your past, present, and future. How to use this to give love to another. What to do if you're ever suffering. And how to use your love to connect to something bigger than you. We will wrap up with practical advice on how to live this way of life. I will guide you, and where it's helpful, I'll break down exactly what to do. Everything will be from my experience. And since we're both human, what worked for me will work for you. I have one suggestion. Don't get entangled in the details. If ever confused, remember that it's your intention that matters. And the only intention you need here is pure and focused love for yourself. Ready? Let's jump. First, forgive yourself. Before you step into the future, you must release the shackles of the past. I don't understand why we work so hard to forgive others without forgiving the only one we have any power over, ourselves. All freedom starts within. Even if you want to forgive others, you must forgive yourself first. Only the free can free another. It took me a while to understand this, but once I applied it, this added a level to loving myself I hadn't experienced before. It's easy and absolutely liberating. Imagine letting go of what you've held against yourself. That's what this does, and it leads you perfectly to the vow to love yourself. Try this. Forgive yourself. Step 1. Go somewhere where you won't be interrupted. The less distraction for anything you apply in this manual, the better. My favorite place for this is in nature. At the very least, choose someplace that makes you feel good. Step 2. When you are ready, write down all that you hold against yourself. Every single thing. Please don't hold anything back. This is your healing. It is sacred. Whatever emotions rise, feel fully and let them pass. You are worth the magic you will experience afterward. Step 3. Once the emotions have passed, remember that you are a human being. Therefore, it's your nature to make mistakes. It's the contract of existing on this planet. Sit with that for a moment. Step 4. Write down that you forgive yourself. Read the whole thing out loud, again and again and again, until you feel something inside shift. You might need to write it down multiple times to feel the shift. If so, then write it, read it out loud, and repeat until you're ready to let go. Remember, you are worth this. Step 5. Take the paper you wrote on and destroy it. You can tear it up. You can throw it in the ocean, or lake, or river. You can chuck it in the garbage or set it on fire or flush it down the toilet. You could put it on a rocket and launch it into outer space. It really doesn't matter how you destroy it. You're throwing away everything you held against yourself. The act itself is symbolic. It's the purity of intention that matters. Let this action take the paper and all that it represents away from you. Let life take it from you. Let love take it from you. Let it go. You are forgiven by the one person you need it from most, yourself. Second, your vow. When I first wrote the vow to love myself, I was desperate. I had to save myself. I remember how tightly I gripped that pen, how it dug through the paper and onto the wooden desk. When I finished, I put the pen down and stared at my journal. What had I done? In front of me, in my handwriting in black ink, was a vow. And a vow is a full-on commitment, a sacred act to oneself. There was no escape from this. I didn't know how to love myself, but because of the vow, I had to figure it out. So, hiding in my bedroom, day after day and night after night, I worked on myself until I did. This took a man who was deep in failure and hating himself to a man who was loving himself, loving life, and experiencing magic in ways he never knew existed. And years later, still does. Even more so. That is the power of a vow. It changes everything. You go all in. There is no turning back. No trying or wanting or wishing. You're doing. If you stumble and fall, you get up, dust yourself off, and continue on. And there is only one way, forward. Looking back, I'm still amazed that I actually figured out how to love myself. But it doesn't surprise me anymore. I've learned that when you make a true commitment to yourself, things start to shift. Inside and outside, you can feel life ripple around you. And please trust me on this. Just because I was at bottom doesn't mean that you must be. Every single moment in our lives is an opportunity to commit. No matter where we are, no matter how good or bad things may seem, this moment is a perfect moment to take our stand, to say no more to what doesn't serve us and an all-in yes to what does. It really is this simple. I swear to you. I've used commitments to transform my health, my fitness, my finances, my relationships, and, of course, the commitment that changed everything, to love myself. I make it again and again. Life is more expansive than our human minds can comprehend. Who we are spreads out in ways bigger than us. So when we make ourselves better, those around us are better for it. Then, those around them, and so on. The results of our commitments are far greater than the original impact. For example, the vow to love myself transformed my life. But it didn't stop there. When I shared the practice with friends, it made their lives better. In turn, they convinced me to write it down. Because of that one vow, here you are, reading my truth. We have no way to foresee the magic that results from our commitments. This is bigger than us. We just have to trust in it. And it will happen each and every time. Here's a side effect of making and keeping commitments to yourself. Your self-confidence skyrockets. You walk through life differently. That's the best way I can describe it. Things you once feared become attainable because you know that all it takes is a commitment to yourself, going all in, and through the process, you'll figure out the path and go further than you thought possible. You naturally develop a healthy respect for the person you become. If you think about it, this is a fantastic way to love yourself. Try this. Make your vow. Do this immediately after forgiving yourself. You've just left the past behind. There is no better time to step into your future. Step 1. Sit somewhere quiet with a piece of paper and pen. There's something powerful about writing a vow with your hand, seeing the words flow to the pen, feeling the page. I've tried this on a computer and phone, but haven't experienced the same power. Step 2. Write the vow to love yourself truly and deeply in every way you can. Make it so powerful that it scares you a little. If you want, use mine as a guide. It can be as long or short as you want. The key is, it has to inspire something inside you. Step 3. If you feel the need to edit your vow, rewrite the whole thing again. Feel the power of the complete vow. The more energy you put into this, the more you'll receive. Step 4. Read the vow out loud, again and again until you feel it vibrate inside you. Step 5. Put this paper somewhere you'll see it daily, preferably multiple times a day. For me, it's a journal on my desk, but really, it doesn't matter where. You know the right place for you. You can also carry a photo of it as a reminder. But if your life allows it, return to that place with the vow daily. After a while, you'll notice your mind naturally fall into the power of the vow and the results whenever you return to that paper. It is a physical record of your commitment to yourself. Your subconscious will recognize it. Step 6. Read it daily. At the very minimum, twice. Once in the beginning of the day, once at the end. The more often you do this, the deeper the groove. You can read it out loud or in your head, but each time, make yourself feel the power of your vow. Imagine how you would be if you truly and unconditionally loved yourself. Imagine how your life would be. Feel that. This imagining and feeling part is important. Don't skip it. If you do this again in the future, and I hope you do, write a new vow from scratch. Your vow should reflect who you are at this moment in your life. It will have greater impact this way. 10 breaths. Before we dive into the practice itself, I want to share one thing that's made it sustainable. You might laugh at the simplicity of it, and that simplicity is exactly why it works. Throughout the day, I pause whatever I'm doing and take 10 breaths. That's it. But these aren't your average breaths. They're deep and slow and purposeful. A complete shift from my thoughts to a pure focus on loving myself. When I breathe in, I say to myself, I love myself. I feel light enter from above, doing what it does. When I breathe out, I let the light remove whatever needs to go. No control, no forcing, just allowing. A surrender of sorts. I originally came up with this to overcome my laziness. No matter how good things got, eventually, I'd start coasting. I needed to create a process that would be so easy, there was no way I couldn't do it. And that's what this has done. Remember, if you want full-on magic, go all in. Focus every single conscious breath on loving yourself. So this doesn't bypass that. What it does do is keep the momentum going if you get lazy. And it's so efficient that you have no excuse to skip it. If you ever see me in the gym, you'll notice me walk to the mirror after a workout and stare into my eyes for a few moments, then grin. You just caught me doing the 10 breaths mirror. Or, outside my building, you'll see me pause, look up at the sky for a while, and then go in. I just did the 10 breaths mental loop. My day is filled with these moments, and why not? They feel good, they deepen the groove of loving myself, and they create magic in my life. Most importantly, I can do them anywhere and anytime. As we go through the practice in the rest of this manual, we'll weave in the 10 breaths so you can see how I do it. That should give you ideas on how to add it to your life. Third, do the practice. My first career was in clinical research. I was fresh out of college, gathering data in hospital emergency departments, hoping the experience would help me get into medical school. As life has it, I fell in love with writing. Then, I discovered startups, and medical school never happened. But the experience left its mark. In some ways, it led to the practice. After I made the vow, I had no idea how to love myself. Who among us ever got that training? So I started trying anything and everything in my head. I tried every stupid thing I could dream of. I didn't care if it seemed foolish or too simple. I only cared about one thing, that it worked. Basically, I was running clinical trials in my head, sample size of the one person I had to save, myself. Here's how I knew if something worked. It shifted me away from the misery I was in. If it did, I would do it more, go deeper. If it stopped working or grew weaker, I threw it away. I had no attachment to anything except results. Ultimately, four things were left: the mental loop, the meditation, the mirror, the question. If I was to give you a timeline, the mental loop came first, then the meditation, then the mirror. The question came when I was dealing with people and their dramas. Each worked in its own way. You might be tempted to only do one. Don't fall for that trap. Although each is powerful, put them together and their effects compound. That's what created magic in my life. Besides, you just made a vow to love yourself. You owe it to yourself to go all in. The practice. 1. Mental loop. After I wrote the vow and was trying out anything that might work, I noticed that while repeating, "I love myself," there were brief moments where I made myself actually believe it. At first, it felt like I tricked my mind. It was normal to hate myself, to be miserable, so this burst of feeling love for myself, even if it was for a second or two, it felt, well, felt strange. But there was something there, something special. Deep down, I knew. The more I felt the feeling, the faster my state of mind shifted. So I consciously added feeling to the mental loop. I actually made myself feel love for myself. This was a nuance that took me to the next level. The more I did this, the better I got, the better life got. It's as if thoughts and feelings added together create transformation on a higher level than thoughts alone. After a while, this grew easier. The groove was growing deeper. I still remember when I first felt the feeling rise on its own. I was outside my building, staring up at the sky, and it hit me so strong, this feeling of loving myself. So natural, so real. I had to capture the moment, perhaps to remind myself that it actually happened. I still didn't believe this was my reality and was afraid that it would disappear. I ran upstairs to my apartment and wrote the chapter titled Magic. When you do the mental loop with feeling, it will feel strange at first. You might feel like you're faking it, that it's not real. In that case, ask yourself this: is the noise in my head real? It's just loops upon thought loops, old grooves and patterns running themselves. Confetti of the mind. Let's say you resolve something in your head, a new version will pop up tomorrow. Even if you let go of anger against someone today, you might feel anger against a different person next week. Nothing's changed except window dressing. That's why this one groove is so effective. Since we're already wired for love, it pierces through the clutter, shakes the garbage out naturally. Old thought patterns lose their power. When I was a bottom, I didn't care what my mind favored fear-based thoughts. If you're on fire, you don't want to lecture on the nature of combustion. You want water. So, rather than fighting the thoughts in my head, I focused on the only one that mattered, the one that saved me. I was, as a wise friend said, living life from the inside out. That is what got me here. That is what the mental loop is all about. Try this. Mental loop. The mental loop is the simplest piece of the practice. Just repeat, I love myself, every chance you get. Either out loud or in your head, whatever feels right. That's it. What you're doing is shifting the mind to one focus groove. You're pulling out the rag, cleaning your window. Light will enter. It always does. Your mind might rebel. After all, it's not normal to consciously narrow our thoughts down to just one. It's a form of mental discipline we've never been taught. So, memories and emotions will probably rise, telling you the opposite. First, this is to be expected. Be gentle with yourself and continue. The very act of creating this new groove is a form of loving yourself. Second, don't listen to the fears. Hallucinated snakes, every single one. To save yourself, you must step through them. When a hero sets off on a quest, he knows that there will be obstacles along his path to treasure. That's part of the grand adventure. You're the hero of your story. Hallucinated snakes are your obstacles. Third, stepping through hallucinated snakes builds trust in yourself. You realize that you're more powerful than your illusions. But no book or person can do this for you. Only you can. Once you're slightly used to the mental loop, and it only takes a day or two, add feeling. It will take you to the next level. Why even wait? Because the mind rebels harder if you do it all in the beginning. So the best way to do it is step by step. Start the groove, then dig deeper. Water will flow. To add feeling, breathe slow and purposeful breaths. With the in-breath, say, I love myself, and feel love rise within your chest. It helps to picture it as light. With the out-breath, release whatever comes. There is no forcing or faking. It's more of an allowing because your love is already inside you. The more you do this, the deeper the groove. The more it becomes part of your subconscious. The more it starts to run on its own until eventually, your mind is more an expression of this groove than it's not. Some prefer saying, I love me. Others, I am loved. All variations work. Remember, it's the intention behind the words that matter. In this case, your intention must be pure focus on love for yourself. When you first start, be obsessive about the mental loop. Do it as much as you possibly can. You'll notice the inner shifts, then the outer. Go all in. But eventually, if you're like me and things start to get really good, you'll slow down. That's fine. Life is long and has its own rhythm. But here's the danger. If you stop, the mind starts to slide to old ways. It never goes back to where you once were. You've created a new powerful groove, after all. But the grooves of the past run deep. They've been dug in over a lifetime. That's what you're up against. Here is how to keep it consistent. When you wake up, take a long and deep breath and say in your mind or aloud, I love myself. Imagine light flowing in from above into your head and spreading to your body, going wherever it needs to go. Feel the feeling of loving yourself. Then exhale. Do this for 10 breaths. It's a beautiful way to start the day. During the day, whenever you notice your thoughts wander to darkness, anger, hurt, pain, fear, and so on, pull out your rag, wipe your window. Let shift be our action. If you notice your mind in a negative loop, shift to love for yourself. Do this throughout the day. Shift, shift, shift. Each time you shift, Do the mental loop intensely for 10 deep breaths. If you're ever having a hard moment or feel stressed, pausing to do this really helps. It will also show you that ultimately, we're responsible for our misery as well as our healing. And healing is available to us in each and every moment. Remember, you're deepening this new groove with each shift. What might feel like work in the beginning will eventually become natural. The groove will run on its own. Falling asleep. Just repeat what you did when you woke. Except here, don't stop. Do it until you fall asleep. Your mind will wander, as it naturally does, but each time you notice, shift it back to your new groove. This is an incredibly effective time. You're layering love for yourself into your subconscious as you drift into sleep. It's also a beautiful way to end the day. The practice. 2. Meditation. The meditation is the most powerful part of the practice. But you might not feel the effects immediately. Often, you're just sitting there with your mind wandering all over the place, wondering what you're doing with your life, how you ended up here, why your nose itches, if you can get a refund on this book. Yet, even with all this, there are moments of silence, of your mind getting out of the way, of light entering, and those moments are enough. Remember, it's the light that heals. It's the light that transforms. There is nothing for us to do but let it in. No forcing, just allowing. What really helped me was doing this with the same piece of music. It was something I had positive associations with. Since I felt good listening to it, it was easy to go into that state when I closed my eyes to meditate. Within a week, the moment the song came on, my mind automatically went into a silent state. Light poured in. I can't promise how you'll feel when you start this, but I can promise that if you do it and focus on the light coming in from above, allowing it in, soon enough, you will notice shifts within yourself. And this I promise you as well, in your life. Try this. Meditate. The meditation is simple. Find a piece of music that makes you feel good. Play it. Close your eyes. Feel light enter from above with each in-breath. And say to yourself, I love myself. Then, release whatever comes with the out-breath. If your mind wanders, gently return it to your in-breath. Do this until the music ends. For me, this takes slightly over 7 minutes. Your mind might rebel, but don't let this scare you. Remember, there are hallucinated snakes along the path to love. Once you recognize them for the illusions that they are, their power over you naturally lessens. That, in itself, is worth it. Repeat the meditation daily to the same music, if you can, at the same time each day. Make it an anchor that your life spins around. After the first few times, add feeling exactly as you did with the mental loop. I don't recommend listening to that music outside of the meditation. You don't want the mind to connect it to the mundane. This is a focused and beautiful time when you're pulling out the rag, cleaning the window, letting light enter. Keep it special. The practice. 3. Mirror. This is the one that many avoid. Here's my suggestion. If you find yourself resisting, then you must do it. The resistance is old loops and patterns fighting for survival. The same ones that have held you down. Time to let them go. I stumbled upon this by accident. One night, while doing the mental loop out loud, I stared at myself in the mirror, and I continued, I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. Whoa. Something powerful was happening. I was connecting to myself in a deeper way. After just 5 minutes, I felt a buzzing. Yet it felt like things had settled inside, like they were more solid. It was the strangest thing. and continue this daily. The trick I learned by trying out every variation was to look into my eyes. Not my face, not my hair, not anywhere else, but to put myself so close to the mirror that I could only see my eyes, then tell myself that I loved myself. This anchors our love to our physical selves. And the focus on the eyes avoids the judgments we make about our faces and bodies. The more we do this, the more the judgments disappear. This one is special. It makes you fall in love with yourself. Try this. Mirror. Stare into your eyes in the mirror and do the mental loop nonstop for 5 minutes. When you can, pause between breaths and get lost in your eyes. The more you do this, the more you'll experience your own beauty. Then, just like the mental loop and meditation, add feeling after the first few times. I don't recommend doing anything else, like brushing your teeth, while doing this. As for the best time, do it right after the meditation if you can. Then back to back in the morning, this set up your day. I found it to be more powerful when saying, "I love myself," out loud. If that's too much, then whisper. Something happens when you combine the physicality of your voice repeating that it loves you with staring into your own eyes. It causes an internal shift, lets the light in. The key here is focus. You're going all in on loving yourself for these brief 5 minutes, in a visceral and physical way. Give yourself this gift. The practice. 4. Question. It's easy to get caught in our heads, run thought loops on automatic. This feels so normal that we rarely stop to question it. Yet most of these loops don't serve us. At worst, they destroy our self-worth, separate us from love. That's why the right question in the moment is effective. First, it shifts the mind. We're no longer an automatic pilot. Second, answering forces us to make a conscious choice. Third, choice leads to action, internal and external. Asking and answering questions makes us proactive in our lives, rather than reactive. This, in itself, is transformative. Here are the ones I use for loving myself. If I loved myself truly and deeply, would I let myself experience this? The if removes any arguments the mind creates. Even when I'm feeling horrible in the moment and not loving myself, the if makes the answer possible and real. This question is perfect for dealing with others. No matter how someone else may be, how I feel inside is my choice, always. So I ask the question to shift away from reactive thoughts. If I loved myself truly and deeply, what would I do? This question is great for life choices. It focuses me forward rather than on the rearview mirror of my thoughts. No matter what's happened, no matter the mistakes I've made, it leads me to what I need. In fact, you're listening to this book because of this question. After I finished the original version and committed to publishing it, I still hesitated. I was terrified about ruining my career in Silicon Valley. Then, one evening, I asked myself the question. The answer was simple. I'd share my truth. It was too important not to. If I was mocked, then I'd love myself through it. Magic would result either way. What it would be, I had no idea. But I'd experienced enough magic from loving myself to know it as real. Answering this question shifted my thoughts from fear to truth, and then to action.